This morning I want to ask the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And when you think about that question, you think, well, why do we even need to ask such a question? For the past 2,000 years, we've had so much about Jesus Christ, and everyone knows who Jesus Christ is. Why even ask that question? Well, if you were to ask that question to 10 of your friends or co-workers, or maybe 10, 15, 20, depending on how many it would take, you would get a variety of answers. You would get some commonality, you would get some common answers, but then you would probably get something a little bit different the more you ask. And the more people you ask, the more diverse answers you're going to get. And so that alone lets us know that not everybody knows the real answer to that question, who is Jesus? This morning, I want to ask the question, will the real Jesus please stand up? And when you look at Jesus today and the answers that people give, you find that there is a variety. Just like in our scripture reading, look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Who do men say that the Son of Man is? And some said John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And so there's a variety of answers even right here in Jesus' day. Even in Jesus' day, there was a variety of answers. And of course, some 2,000 years later, there's definitely going to be a variety of answers. You know, we claim to follow Jesus, and many claim to follow Jesus. Those who practice Christianity claim to follow Jesus. But who is He? And even among those who don't follow Jesus, who is He? What is their answer? What is their interpretation of that? Do you know in the New Testament, in the Gospels, when they were recording the life of Jesus, there were different times when people would say something to the effect of, who is this man? Who is this one? In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 10, when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was stirred saying, who is this? Who is this? Matthew 21:10. Luke 7:49. John 12:34. Who is this? I think about his disciples after they were in the boat, and after Jesus calmed the storm, they said, who is this one who even the winds and the waves obey him? Who is this one? That's a good question. And until we get the right answer, we're never fully going to understand who Jesus is, and we're never fully going to have a proper relationship with God. You know, many in his own day asked the question, and in Matthew chapter 16, it's Jesus himself that is bringing up the question. Look at Matthew 16:13. It was Jesus who asked, who do men say that the Son of Man is? Even Jesus wants people to know who he is. He raises the question. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. When Jesus was going about preaching and teaching, there were individuals who looked at Jesus and they just simply saw him for what they wanted to see him as. And coming to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence or from where hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Where did he get the ability to speak this way and do these miracles? Who is this man? Is not this the carpenter's son? We know him as a man. We know him as the guy across town who used to make furniture with his father. He used to work with wood tools. He's a carpenter, the carpenter's son. We know that about him. But what else do we know about him? Is there anything else? Where did he get this wisdom? How can he do these miracles? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? We know by this that Mary and Joseph had other children. And his sisters, that they had girls. Are they not all with us? Whence or from where then hath this man all these things? We know him as the carpenter's son. But where did this other come from? Is he anything more than that? But they were offended in him. Some could not get past the fact that he was just a carpenter's son. They did not want to put their faith in him as the Son of God. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country. In other words, when I am in my own country, I'm without honor. You're not accepting me as I am, and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So who is this? Who is this person? Turn to John chapter 7. on one occasion when Jesus was in the temple for one of the feast days there. He taught in the midst of the temple. And we find in verse 40, John 7 and verse 40, some of the multitude therefore, when they heard these words, said, "This is of a truth the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "What? Doth the Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that the Christ cometh of the seed of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" That's Micah 5, 1 and 2. They knew that prophecy. "So there arose a division in the multitude because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. The officers therefore came to the chief priests and Pharisees and said unto them, 'Why did you not bring him?' The officers said, 'Never man so spake.'" There's something different about this man. "The Pharisees therefore answered, 'Are you also led astray? Hath any of the rulers believed on him or of the Pharisees? But this multitude that knoweth not the law are accursed.'" We're not going to go do what the multitude is doing. We're not going to follow Jesus. But who is this man? Is he a prophet? Is he the Christ? Who is he? And so this question was even raised in Jesus' day. But who are we going to ask? Where are we going to go to get the answers? People ask questions all the time about Jesus. They were even asking questions in Jesus' day about Jesus. But who are we going to go to? What evidence are we going to accept? Where are we going to go for the answer? Are we going to turn to the Bible or someone else or some other place? Who is Jesus? We hear so much about him today, but do we really understand him? You know, there have been movies made about him that it's a mixture of truth and error. Mel Gibson had a movie, The Passion of Christ, a few years ago. There was some truth in there. There was some Hollywood liberty in there. There's Jesus Christ Superstar. There's a book called The Passover Plot that came out in the 70s that had a mixture of truth and error in it. People talk about, sing about, write about, make movies about Jesus. And it's all over the page as to who he is. We want to turn to God's Word, of course, for the answer, but who is Jesus to you? Who is he to me? When you turn to the Scripture, you find that he's more than just a man. There were many individuals other than Jesus himself who described him and recognized him as the divine Son of God. The angels in Luke 1:31 at his birth. John the Baptist. The Father's voice from heaven on two separate occasions. God from heaven at Jesus' baptism and on the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son." Peter and the Apostles. I think about, that's the passage there. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 33. "And they that were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" This is after Jesus walks on the water. Peter in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, the scripture reading that we just had, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Even the demons, those who would be opposed to Jesus recognized him as the Son of God. "What have we to do with thee, thou Son of God?" Matthew 8:29. Jesus, of course, himself identified himself as the Son of God. The multitudes, and sometimes this is astonishing. If you noticed sometimes that even those who were not necessarily or intimately involved with Jesus recognized that. Look at the Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 54. He wasn't a follower of Jesus. He wasn't an apostle of Jesus. He didn't sit and hear the Sermon on the Mount in the sense of just intimately with him all day long. Here's a Roman centurion at the base of the cross and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." So there was evidence at that moment of who he was. I think about Nathanael in John chapter 1 and verse 49, and others who weren't necessarily followers of Jesus were willing to recognize that fact. And then, of course, you've got Saul of Tarsus, who was directly opposed to Jesus Christ, and he wanted to do as a Jew. He didn't want to become a Christian. He wanted to put Christians in prison. And he was very much opposed to Jesus Christ. He wanted to do many things contrary to Jesus of Nazareth. And yet when Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus, the risen Lord, Acts 9:20, what happened? He immediately, the text says, he went into the synagogue and proclaimed Jesus as the Christ. Here's a complete 180-degree turnaround in this man. So who is Jesus, and how can he affect and have an effect on these individuals? That's what we want to consider this morning. Now, this is a question, who is Jesus? And so we're going to ask some individuals this morning, who is Jesus? Well, first of all, ask the modern person. This is going to be the religious scholar. This is going to be the scientist. This is going to be the educated individual today. Walk up to him and say, who is Jesus? The answer you're going to get is probably going to be something similar to this. He was a great Jewish teacher. He lived in the first century. He lived in Palestine. He was a Jewish teacher. He was a good man. He was appealing and motivational. He was able to speak in such a way as to get a crowd. However, he was delusioned and he was misguided and he was deceived. He thought he was the Son of God when he wasn't. He thought he could work miracles when he really couldn't. And because of all of that, he met an untimely and unfortunate death on a cross because he kept preaching this message that he thought was true and it really wasn't true. And there was no need for him to die on a cross because he wasn't any of that anyway. He was a great guy. And he was a motivational speaker, and he tried to teach people good things. And when you turn to the Sermon on the Mount, he's trying to teach people how to be good and live a good way. But he went too far in saying that he was the divine Son of God, and it was just a complete waste of his life to be put on the cross. There was just no need for that whatsoever. And he got it in his mind that he was this Son of God, and he really wasn't, because nobody can be that. You know, as modern men know, you know, you can't be that kind of thing. And that's the answer you're going to get. One thing that you need to stop and think about is, if you ever run across a person who says that Jesus was a good man, but he really wasn't what he said he was, you can't be a good man and a liar at the same time. If you're lying about who you are and they would admit that, then you can't be good. So point that out to them. They don't realize what they're doing. Oh, he's a good man, but he lied about who he was. Well, you can't be good and a liar at the same time. No, Jesus was more than just a Jewish teacher. He was more than just a good man. He was more than just some motivational speaker. He taught with authority, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29, and he backed that up with miracles. And in John chapter 14, verses 6 through 9, he taught, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He's not one of many different kinds of teachers. He is the only way to God. And in just a minute, we're going to talk some more about that. He backed that up. He wasn't misguided and disillusioned and deceived. He spoke the truth and demonstrated that in his life with miracles, the greatest being that of the resurrection. But who is Jesus? It depends on who you ask. And it depends on what they're going to do with the answer, and much of it is just coming from their own human opinion. We've got to turn to the reliable scripture to get the right answer about who Jesus is. Not hearsay and what we think and what we feel and what scholars say. But what did Jesus say himself? What did others say about him? What does the text say? What does the evidence say? That's where we have to turn. But you ask the modern man, the modern person, and he's going to say, well, he was a good Jewish teacher who died. And he was really no different than any other Jewish teacher who lived and died at the time. But Jesus was much more than a great teacher. He was the divine Son of God who saved us from our sins. Well, who is Jesus? Well, in a similar vein, ask the world religion. Go to Asia, go to India and ask a Buddhist or a Hindu. Go to the Middle East and ask a Muslim. Okay? Go to China or Japan and ask someone in the Confucius religion or the Shinto religion. Ask them, just say, who is Jesus? And what they're going to say is, they're going to say that he was a teacher and he founded a religion called Christianity. But he's no different than Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad or any other great man of history that started a religion. He's similar to Socrates and Aristotle and Plato. These men had wise sayings, and some of them, through their wise sayings, started religions like Buddha and Confucius, but that's all he is. And in the Western world, people tend to follow Jesus. But over here in the Middle East, we tend to follow Muhammad. And over here in Asia, we tend to follow Buddha. And if you want to follow Jesus, that's fine. They're all religious teachers. In fact, with regard to world religions and how that is taught today and how that's studied today, flip a coin. Pick a religious teacher. It doesn't matter. They're all good men teaching all kinds of things about how to be better in life. Just pick one. They're all on par with each other. Here's the problem with that. Before we even look at the next point, look at Buddha and study his life, or Confucius, or Muhammad. Apart from their religious statements, what sets them apart from man? Nothing. They're just men. Apart from their religious statements and sometimes wise sayings, they're just like you and me. Jesus was very much unlike them. I'm just going to list three things. Number one, he was sinless. Turn to John chapter 8 and verse 46. Jesus said, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" These men, Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, Socrates, Aristotle, they're all known. They're all known for their sinful lives. And some of them, like Muhammad, was a violent man, walking around cutting people's heads off with a sword. And some of his followers are still doing that today, except they've exchanged the sword for an M16 or an AK-47. Socrates and Plato and Aristotle are known for their sexual immorality. Alcohol, women, immorality. And Buddha and Confucius are known for problems in their lives. Admitted problems. Historical things where historians just are open about what they did. Jesus was never that. He was without sin. Which of you convicts me of sin? When he's on trial before Pilate, Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." You can't say that of these other men. Number two, he worked miracles to prove his claims to deity. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 36, he's talking about his miracles, "The works that I do, they testify of me." These men never once did one miracle, period. Never even tried to do a miracle. Never even thought about doing a miracle because they couldn't do it. And so all of the signs and the miracles are written, John 20, 30, and 31, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's why these things are written, that you may believe. These men up here never once tried anything. And then number three, to cap it all off, he was raised from the dead. Romans 1:4, the resurrection declared him to be the Son of God. That's just three. There's some other things that we can talk about, but we'll just limit it to those three. He was sinless. He worked miracles to prove what he was teaching was true. And he was raised from the dead. Now somebody says, "Well, you know, just pick one of these. You know, if you're typically in the Western world, you know, Europe and the United States and Canada, South America, that kind of area, you know, you're probably going to follow Jesus. And if you're in some area, if you were born into that area, you're probably going to follow someone else." Well, that is true that people born in certain areas tend to follow certain things. But here's the thing. If I were born in the Middle East and my parents were Muslim, I'd probably be raised a Muslim, no doubt about that. But when I get old enough, I need to be able to read and study and see that there's a big difference between Jesus Christ and this guy right here that my parents taught me to follow named Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius or whatever. And you know what? I can do that. I read the Bible and I see that he was sinless, he worked miracles, and he was raised from the dead. And then I read my own stories about this man that my parents taught me to follow. And this man over here is not even close to Jesus. Then I need to be thinking about making a change. These men over here said some things, some great things, but it's not true. Jesus, what he says is true, and then he proves it. Depends on who you ask. Who is Jesus? Well, he's just a founder of a major religion. No, he's much more than that. Here's a third person that we need to ask. And this is even in the days of Jesus. I'm going to call him the antagonist person. You could call him something similar. I'm talking about the enemy, the person who just outright doesn't like Jesus. And there are people like that even today. They're just downright nasty about their view of Jesus. This Jesus is a person who must be rejected at all cost. He is our enemy. Let's get rid of him. Even the Jews in Jesus' day said that. In Luke chapter 4, they tried to throw him over a hill. They eventually succeed and crucify him. We don't want this man around. There are different times in the Gospels where it's said that the Pharisees and scribes conspire together what they might do to Jesus. We don't like this man. So if you ask that person, who is Jesus? Their answer is, well, he is someone that we have to get rid of at all costs. Well, we don't like the guy. And that's still going on today. But stop and think about this for just a minute. Why are they trying to get rid of him? Do you know that people try to get rid of people today because of the wrong that they're doing? They've done something wrong. They've said something wrong. But look at Jesus. He's sinless. Jesus was not rejected because he did anything wrong. He was rejected because he exposed the wrong in others. Turn with me to John chapter 3 and verse 20. He describes himself as the light that has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. People don't like Jesus, and that's true today. Why? Not because he did anything wrong, not because he's the problem, it's because they're the problem, and they don't want to change their lives. And this is the judgment, that the light, he's talking about himself, if you back up to verse 16 and read down through, the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light. Why, John? Lest his work should be reproved. Let's get rid of Jesus. And so he had his antagonists then and today. And even after he was raised and ascended back into heaven, when his apostles went out and preached his word, they attacked the apostles. They killed Stephen. They killed James. We don't like this Jesus, and we don't like his followers and his apostles. Why? Because they're pointing out sin in their lives and saying that they need to change. Look at John chapter 9 and verse 41. The Pharisees didn't like Jesus healing this blind man. Jesus said unto them, they said to Jesus, are we blind? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we sin, your sin remaineth. They didn't like him. They didn't like what he did. They didn't like the miracles that he did. They should have appreciated him healing this blind man. And all of the healings that he did and all of the people that he fixed, they should have appreciated that, but they didn't like that at all because he was exposing them at the same time. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had had no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Underscore that. Why did they hate Jesus? Because he exposed their sin. Who is Jesus? Well, It's someone we need to get rid of. We don't like him. And you know, really, That is what's going on today in the modern world, especially, even among people who claim to be religious scholars. They try to downgrade Jesus to just a man, a religious man. They really don't like what he says. They don't like how he exposes their lifestyle. And so they try to downgrade the Bible. Well, it's not really the Word of God, and those stories aren't true, and the miracles aren't true. They downgrade the life of Jesus. They downgrade the Bible itself. Why do all of that? Why reject all of that? Because they don't like Jesus' message in pointing out their lifestyle. Who is Jesus? Well, it depends on who you ask. Let's ask another person. This is going to be what I'm going to call the Christian person. This is the person who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus died for my sins on the cross, and what he wants me to do is he wants me to be religious and go to the church of my choice. And so we're Christians, and I'm a part of Christianity, and it's made up of hundreds, yea, thousands of denominations, Presbyterians and Methodists and Lutherans and Baptists and Catholics and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, and we are Christians, and we follow Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God, and he wants me to be religious and go join the church of my choice. Really? Is that what Jesus wants? Did anybody ever ask Jesus that? Did anybody ever talk with Jesus about if that's what he wants? You know, Jesus wants us to follow him, absolutely. And he wants us to believe that he is the Son of God. And he wants us to accept the fact that he died on the cross for our sins. But listen, it's not just a matter of being religious. Look at Matthew chapter 7, for example. We have to be religious, absolutely. And we have to follow Jesus, absolutely. But it's more detailed than that. Not just this general, find the church of your choice as long as it's a Christian church. Just whatever church follows Christ. No, it's more detailed. It's more specific. It's more narrow than that. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Well, that would include all of Christianity today. Everybody's saying, Lord, Lord, the Catholics and the Presbyterians and the Baptists and the Methodists and Lutherans, and everybody's saying, Lord, Lord. It's more than that, though. Not everyone. They're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, the judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works, and I will profess to them, I never knew you. That doesn't mean I never knew your name or what you look like. I never associated and fellowship you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity or lawlessness. It's not just a matter of saying, Lord, Lord, and being religious and going to the church of my choice. I have to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is spelled out in the New Testament. And many people are not following what's in the New Testament. They're doing what they want in the name of their religion. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Why didn't Jesus just leave the Pharisees alone? They were religious, you see. They're God worshipers. No, they were honoring God with their lips, but your heart is far from me. In vain do you worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. And in the Christianity denominations that we have today, the teachings of men are being taught. Look at John chapter 4 and verse 24, when Jesus was talking with the woman at the well. It's not a matter of just being religious. Jesus said, those who worship the Father must worship in spirit and in truth. Truth. And that's according to the New Testament. It's not a matter of just pick a religion as long as it's a Christian religion. No, it's in spirit and in truth. Jesus said in John 6:46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? There are people in churches right now in this town that are saying, Lord, Lord, but they're not doing what Jesus says. You ask a quote-unquote Christian person who is Jesus, he'll say some right things about him. But his understanding is, well, Jesus built a church that is made up of all denominations. No, he didn't. None of those were in existence in the New Testament time. So just pick one and go and be religious, and that's enough. No, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, that's not enough. Just to start following me and saying, Lord, Lord, you have to do what is in the Scripture. And there is the rub. many people just simply don't do what is in the New Testament. They add to it, they take from it, they try to change it, and that's why we have all these so-called Christian denominations teaching contrary and divisive things. Ask the emotional person, who is Jesus? And this happens a lot today. This especially happens among those who aren't even a member of a church anywhere. Who is Jesus? Oh, he was a man of love and forgiveness. Going to church is not important. Correct doctrine is not important. Jesus loves me. And I remember years ago singing that song, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's all I need to know about Jesus. He loves me and he'll forgive me. Do you go to church? No, I don't read my Bible. I don't go to church. But Jesus loves me. And, you know, Jesus does love me. And he loves everyone. There's no question about that. God loves the whole world, John 3:16. But their understanding of Jesus does not fit the New Testament. Jesus' love did not and does not overlook wrongdoing. There will be a person who's in a homosexual marriage. There'll be a person who's in an adulterous marriage. There might be some grave sin going on in their life that they're even doing at the very moment that they say, well, Jesus loves me. Their concept of love is that Jesus just sort of overlooks everything. Yes, Jesus wants us to be a part of his church. Listen, when somebody says going to church is not important, then why did Jesus die to establish his church? Why? In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That's where Jesus was going in Acts chapter 2. When he died, his soul was in Hades, and then he came back. His death was what procured the establishment of the church. In Acts chapter 20, look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 with regard to the church. When Paul is talking to the elders of the church there at Ephesus, what does he say about Jesus? Take heed unto the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. And you turn around and tell me, well, church is not important. The next time somebody says to you, well, church is not important, and I don't think going to church is that big a deal. Jesus loves me. You read that passage to him. Then why did he die and shed his blood for it if we don't have to be a part of it? Why? What a waste. What a waste, Jesus, to do all of that when we don't even have to be a part of it. Jesus wants us to follow his commandments. That's what love is. John 14 says, 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You see, the emotional person who's just all about love, their idea is, well, love is just sort of this fuzzy feeling that Jesus and I have together, and I don't have to be a member of the church, and correct doctrine is not important, and having to live certain ways. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And in Mark chapter 10 and verse 29, the text says that Jesus looked at the rich young ruler. He looked on him and he loved him. He loved him and said, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. Love tells people what they need to do to change. And then last of all, ask the broad-minded person. And this is very popular today. Who is Jesus? Jesus was a man who accepted all people. He never condemned anyone. He didn't judge anyone, and he doesn't judge me. And I'm so thankful for that. Here I am in my homosexual relationship. Here I am a thief, a liar, a cheat. I'm a drunk. I'm on drugs, and I won't quit. I'm not talking about a person who's trying to change it. I'm just talking about a person who's living their life. Jesus loves me and accepts me for who I am. Well, is that according to Scripture? You know, Jesus condemns sin. That's a picture of Jesus that many people don't even know about. It's like the Jesus I never knew. Well, that's the Jesus I never knew. It's because you haven't been reading your Bible, friend. You've just been listening to things of the world. In Matthew, well, didn't Jesus say, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, didn't Jesus say, judge not? And I'll tell you, I didn't go to church much growing up, but I remember one time the preacher saying, judge not. I remember that. And that's all I need to know. Well, the problem is, you're remembering verse 1, but you're not remembering verse 5. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, judge not. That's right. And then he goes on to say the circumstances under which not to do that. When you're living hypocritically and you have wrong things in your life, don't turn around and try to judge someone else when you have those wrong things going on in your life. But then notice what he says. Get rid of those wrong things in your life. Verse 5. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote that is in your brother's eye. Got to read on down to verse 5. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, he looked with indignation upon these Pharisees because of the hardening of their heart. In Luke chapter 11, he says, woe, 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 over and over again to these individuals. And what did Jesus do? Well, I thought I read somewhere in the Bible about Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. And he said to that woman, I'm not going to stone you. I'm not going to judge you. Well, that's right. But look at John chapter 8 and verse 11. He said, go sin no more. He admitted her sin. He pointed out her sin. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 14 with regard to the healing of the man there. In John chapter 5 and verse 14, after he healed this man at the pool of Bethesda, on the Sabbath, verse 14, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing befall thee. Sin no more. Jesus didn't walk around just overlooking people's sin. And he was so broad-minded that he just accepts anyone and everyone, no matter how you're living in your life. It depends on who you ask, and it depends on where you go for the answer. Now I want to close with this illustration. There is a story from India that goes back several hundred years. It's called The Six Blind Men and the Elephant. You ever heard this story? It's a parable. It's a story to teach an illustration. The story is about these six blind men in India who were born blind and they had never seen an elephant in their entire life. And one day a man says, I'm going to bring an elephant into these six blind men. And he does, and they go up to one part and they begin to feel. They don't move around, they just go up to one part and they begin to feel on this thing that they've never seen. This man up here said, this is a snake. This is a snake, and whatever animal you brought me is just like a snake. This man right here said, no, 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 no. This animal that you brought me, it's like a spear. It's hard and firm and pointed on the end. This man down here said, no, this is a tree. Whatever this animal is, it must be like a tree. This man up here said, no, no, it's a fan. It's like a fan. This man said, no, it's like a wall. This man back here said, no, it's like a rope. I feel a rope, a little skinny rope. That's what this is. It's an interesting story that teaches this lesson and this parable and this illustration, and that is that when I'm blind to the big picture and all I'm doing is just basing it on one little aspect of what I can't see it. I'm just feeling around here. I'm going to get the wrong answer. I'm going to get a skewed answer, the wrong answer, a partial answer. I'm not getting the big picture. And in two ways, that's what people do today with regard to Jesus. Number one, they're blind to truth. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. They're blind to truth. And number two, they're feeling around and won't get the big picture. Had this man up here walked over here and felt around over here, he would have gotten something else other than this thing that feels like a snake. But I'm just going to stay in one place. I'm going to give the answer that I've been raised with or that I feel or I think or what I've been taught. I don't want to read all of the New Testament and get that complete picture of Jesus. I just want to get a picture of Jesus of what makes me feel good. And what's happening is I am blinded to the truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's exactly what the devil wants with regard to all of the world. And he's pretty capable in accomplishing this with many people. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, that's the real picture of Jesus, should not dawn upon them. I'm just groping around and getting my little perspective over here, whether I'm the broad-minded person or the emotional person or the so-called Christian denominational person or the antagonist or the world religion or the modern person. It's my little portion of the elephant that I'm feeling around on, and it's impartial, it's incomplete, it's false. I have to turn to all of the Word of God. And so, what are we going to do with Jesus this morning? We cannot just ignore Him. We don't need to be like the blind man who just feel around in one little spot and then base our answer on that. Pilate said, what should I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? Matthew 27:22. And that's our closing this morning. What are we going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with Jesus? Do you know how we answer will actually determine our eternal destiny? Jesus said, except you believe that I am, he's talking about his deity, except you believe that I am, you will die in your sins, John 8:24. So yes, it's a very important question. It's not an academic question to be dismissed. It's not just some interesting little curiosity question to be dismissed. Who is Jesus is the most fundamental question of life. And how we answer that determines our eternal destiny. We don't want to answer like these six blind men. We looked at six individuals this morning. The modern man, world religion, antagonist, Christian, emotional person, broad-minded person. Six men. We don't want to be like the six blind men. We want to open our Bibles and get the picture of Jesus that is the truth and bring our lives into conformity to Him. If we can assist you in helping you to do that this morning, coming, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and being a part of His New Testament church, we want to encourage you to do that. But as a child of God, as a Christian, we have begun that life of obedience, but we have to continue that life of obedience. We have to continue studying the Gospels. We have to continue to study our New Testaments to get that accurate picture of Jesus, because even later in life, some get a skewed or false version because they stop reading their Bibles and getting that complete picture, and they're groping around like the blind man, and sadly, their lives are lost and those around them. Let's get that blinder off and get our eyes open to that truth and make sure that we're following that each day. If we can help you, if we can assist you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?